nice Tuesday. Back in Vegas. I miss the snow. I heard there was some snow going on this weekend. Were you here for that, Jared?
I was here for it. Like, I saw it on Twitter, but I didn't get a chance to actually, like, go frolic. So.
So you're telling me you did not make any snowmen?
No.
Or snow women?
I'm from the Midwest, so what people on Twitter were passing off as snow people, I was sort of unimpressed with. So that was more my feel of it was like, oh, cool. That's cute. Because, yeah, if you've ever lived through a Midwestern winter, you can get like a 6'6" snowman going, and it's pretty easy. So
a 6'6" snowman?
Yeah.
I've never seen that in my life. I mean, except in those malls, you know, during Christmas time.
Yeah.
And they have those fake snowmen and Santa Claus.
You got to go spend a winter up in the Midwest.
No, I will never
do that. Go hit northern Illinois, northern Wisconsin. We'll get you a big parka.
No, thanks. No, I used to wear parkas when I swam, and or obviously after I swam. But those do not really keep me that warm. So I don't trust that a parka will protect me from like 18 feet of snow.
You get used to it. It's sort of one of those things where it's like human beings are really, really adaptive primates. So we tend to be able to live anywhere. And so I think if you spend enough winters up in the old Wisconsin area, you'll adapt real quick. Yes, you will.
Wisconsin. But no, here's the thing though. And by the way, I may go to Wisconsin in May after going to Chicago in May.
Oh, so you're going for the slushy time. Like right when it's starting to get warm and all the frozen stuff is melting.
Yeah, well, I hope by then it already melts. Otherwise, yeah. I will tell the pilot to just make a U-turn and go back home. But no, this was actually my first time ever where I was not excited to come back to Las Vegas because of the cold weather. Normally, I'm like, yes, back to Vegas, back home because it's hot. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, there's no way the weather was better. And well, I know the weather's hot in Phoenix and in the summer, probably some can argue it's more hot than Vegas, but there's no way that it was like it's snowing in Las Vegas. Like, I don't want to go back to that. Like, my parents were sending me photos of their cars like covered in snow and ice.
It was really fun to drive on the highway because there were just entire cars that were covered in snow, and like they would slowly melt, and so you'd just be driving and an entire like sheet of snow would come flying off, and it's just like, oh yeah, this doesn't seem dangerous. So yeah, it was a weird time. I'm sure that this summer it's going to be like 115 degrees just offset that we got snow during the winter.
I hope so, because this winter feels a bit off for some reason.
Well, I mean, just like anything else, we're starting to get more and more climate-related catastrophes, so that's just life now.
Why is that? Is it pollution? Is it...
I mean, it's definitely probably climate change, but I'm not a scientist, so I don't know. I just know we're probably not going to do anything about it, so it's fine. We just have to learn to live with... It's going to snow in the winter in the desert, and it's going to be 150 degrees in the summer.
I can't have it do that, no. There's no next winter. I will see you guys when I'll be in Australia next winter. I'm just kidding. No, I probably won't be. But in my mind, I'll be in Australia. But yeah, so this past weekend, a lot happened. I was kind of, you know, on a bit of a vacation, and the UFC fights were in Phoenix anyway, so I try to work because I hate, even on vacation, not working, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Even if I were in Cabo and I'm like, there was an event going on in Cabo, I'd be like, can I just do something? You know, I can't just vacation.
Task-oriented. Got it.
What?
you're task oriented. You need something to go do.
Yes, I do. But yeah, so this past weekend, I did end up covering the UFC on ESPN1 fights. That was the first time in the new deal that UFC has with ESPN that their main card was broadcasted and televised on ESPN, not the ESPN Plus app. So I will talk a bit about that. But after I start off with some, I mean, not really breaking news, but some headliners. UFC 236, it was announced hours ago that Israel Adesanya will be fighting Kelvin Gastelum for the interim middleweight title. And if you did not know, Kelvin was slated to fight Robert Whittaker earlier this month in Australia for the middleweight title before Whittaker pulled was unable to fight the day of. The morning of, he was sent to the hospital. And yeah, so now he is fighting Israel Adesanya, who put on quite the performance against the one of the arguably greatest mixed martial artists of all time in Anderson Silva. So Israel beat Anderson, and then now they are slated to headline UFC 236, but there is no location set yet. But it is slated to be on April 13th. So, yeah, so hopefully we'll get the venue and location announced soon. But what's pretty cool is Kelvin did say on Twitter that I believe on April 13th, that's when he won the Ultimate Fighter finale to make it into the UFC. And in a way, everything came full circle because though he was unable to fight for the title earlier this month, but now he fights for the interim title on April 13th. Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're not a big fight fan, Jared.
I'm not a huge UFC guy. So I'm like, okay, so he won the reality show, but he didn't. And now
on April 13th.
Okay. And so now, how many years later is this? Is this the same?
He won the reality show in 2013.
Okay. So now within, I guess, 6 years, he's already like fighting for he's going to have an interim title shot. So that's, yeah, that is cool. That's like, that's fairly quick turnaround based on my limited understanding of both the sport and how television works.
No, I mean, but my point is it's cool because just like the dates, you know,
yeah,
April 13th,
it's
he won. And yeah, it's like, what if he wins the title on April 13th? Like, you know, that's kind of cool. I mean, not saying that, you know, some people may think the cliche saying where does everything happen for a reason, right? So maybe that fight fell through on, you know, earlier this month so he can get that title shot and maybe win the title on his anniversary of winning the Ultimate Fighter.
I mean, that'd be cool. It'd definitely be like, you know, something
symbolic in a way.
Yeah, he'd have two reasons to celebrate.
That's very true. But that will be a good fight, no doubt. I'm actually really excited for that fight. But also, in other news, Manny Machado agreed to 10 years, $300 million with the Padres, which is the biggest free agent contract in sports history. Are you a big baseball fan?
Yes, huge baseball
fan. Oh, okay. So what do you think?
My basic concept is that he took the money because it's the Padres. The Padres do have a good farm system, but it's a 10-year contract, and I don't know if any baseball player has ever made it to the final year of their contract with the team they signed the contract with. Like, famously, Giancarlo Stanton signed a 7-year deal with the Marlins, and I don't think he made it to year four before they traded him to the... he may have made it to year four before they traded him to the Yankees. Like, every single time someone signs one of these huge contracts, somebody else winds up picking up the bill. So to me, it's one of those like, okay, let's see if he winds up being a Padre for the next decade. That's just my thought.
Do you think he will? Any over-under?
I'd say 4 years is probably the minimum, and I'd say by year six, he's probably playing in either New York. If the Marlins are still in Florida, I would say probably there as their only person on payroll, or alternatively, you know, the Padres pay half his salary for him to play for the A's or something like that. That's how I see it, at least. Because, you know, what we all should have learned from the Anaheim Angels, sorry, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, signing Albert Pujols to that huge contract, is that those huge long-term contracts are a bad idea if you want sustained success.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's better just to go, I'm going to offer you 2 years, $75 million, which is more than what he would make on a 10-year, like, his per would be more than to offer him 10 years, $300 million, because you're kind of just setting money on fire. I could be wrong, but I don't think any 10-year contract is a good investment.
Yeah. Well, what about, like, coaches? For example, like, Gruden, 10-year, $100 million. Do you think, in general, like, coaches, that would be a better idea, or do you think it's either way they're not good? Like,
well, I think the coaches thing is more like that's a grown man or a grown woman. Like, that's a fully developed human being. You offer a 26-year-old a 10-year contract or a 27-year-old a 10-year contract. Dude, if you offered 18-year-old me a 10-year contract, I'm not even close to the same person I was 10 years
True.
Ago. Like, most people between their 20s, their 30s, and their 40s, they go through like a couple different like personality changes. So the concept of, all right, at 27 years old, we want to have you until you're 37 years old. Dude, he could get really into like disco music at the age of like 33 and just disappear off the face of the earth. We don't know who he'll be at 33, but at 27 or 26, we're supposed to predict that he'll be the, like, he'll still maintain success. I don't know. If I were advising him, I would have said, we want more money for less years. So that way, then you get to hit the market again. But that's not how it works, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, you know, what you just said about that, though.
That's just
we'll
my
see.
Thought.
Yeah, no, 10 years is a long time. I think max maybe six, right? Five or six.
I mean, I'd sign a three-year contract to me seems good. Like, that seems solid.
It does, but I mean, if you're trying to lock someone in long-term, maybe five or six, like, at the most.
I would probably go 3 year with a two-year, like, two option years. So 5 years total, but the final year is a... The fourth year is a team option, and the fifth year is a player option. So if the player wants to stay for that fifth year, they can, and if they don't, mm-hmm. they can go, and they have to return some of the money. Something like that. It seems crazy to me that the last time the Padres tried this, where they brought in a bunch of people, a bunch of high-priced talent, they wound up giving up halfway through. So I'm going to be shocked if they're like, because they're releasing statements on social media that are like, well, we haven't ruled out getting Harper too, and it's like, guys.
Wait, isn't Harper? There's rumors he's going to Philly, right?
There's rumors he's going to Philly. There's rumors he's going to the Indians. The Cubs somehow still are being floated about. The White Sox somehow are still being floated about. All we know is that Harper wants the most money, which is cool.
Didn't Manny just get the most money, like,
yeah,
his contract?
Well, I assume it's going to be like what A-Rod did, where he wound up getting double the contract of, I can't remember the basketball player at the time, but he got double the amount of money plus $1. So I assume Harper will get signed for $300 million and $1 or something like that, just so he can have that weird title of...
Oh, yeah.
I'm the highest paid. Well, I'm the highest paid. Oh, I'm the highest paid.
I wonder when his would be announced, right?
Harper?
Yeah.
We are well past when it should have been announced.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I feel like we're kind of way beyond that now, right?
Yeah.
That should have been announced a while ago.
Yeah. My sister and I were joking last week because the Pittsburgh Pirates hilariously signed Garth Brooks to a spring training contract. And I got a text message that was basically they bleeping signed Garth Brooks got signed before Machado and Harper. And it's like, yeah, that's where we are in baseball right now. People are doing the weird gimmick signings before we even get to the actual, like, hey, we have legitimate superstars. Maybe we should figure out where they're going to play, considering, oh, I don't know, spring training ball starts March. It's going to be weird. Going to be a weird baseball season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, no doubt. But we are going to head to a quick break. And also, Tyson Fury signs a co-deal. Let me get all the terms about that. It was announced yesterday, which is huge in the boxing world, a co-promotional deal with Top Rank Boxing and ESPN. Will this affect he and Deontay Wilder's rematch? Because when I interviewed Deontay Wilder during the Super Bowl week, Deontay did tell me that, I mean, he is targeting that rematch in late April or early May. And now it kind of makes sense why the date was not set in stone yet. But like I said, will this and does this affect how that rematch is made? But congrats to Top Rank Boxing. This is huge news, and I mean, it'll be exciting to cover, you know, all the Tyson Fury press conferences. I heard he's a good singer. But let me know what you think. Yeah, and Jared is giving me a funny look right now. During the break, I have to show Jared Tyson Fury his singing karaoke skills.
Was he the one who tried to get the whole press conference to sing?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right, I know who he is then. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that's
that
fun.
One. Yeah. but you can always tweet me at Helen Yee Sports when we get back. I will be talking about the UFC on ESPN card this weekend, also the NBA All-Star Game, and who got inducted or who will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Then later on in the show, I have interviews with Kat Zingano and the UFC flyweight champion, Henry Cejudo. Then later on, going to touch up on the Golden Knights, how they're doing. And it was announced who will be inducted into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame this year, coming up at the Orleans. So stay tuned. You're listening to Eyes on the Game.
I'm disappointed, Gareth, but I'm not going to cry over spilt milk. It is what it is. My friend Dave Ray would say this: many worse things have happened at sea. So life continues. It is what it is. Oh yeah, life goes on even after the draw is done. Where's Tim? Where's
Thank
Tim?
Very much.
A long, long time ago, how that music used to make me smile. Go on, Tim.
And that was courtesy of Tyson Fury, the boxer slash singer slash karaoke artist. And now Jared's aware of his singing skills.
I mean, I knew of a boxer who sang, but I couldn't remember.
You didn't know
it
was Tyson Fury.
Yeah. So I was just very like, wait, I think I can find this, because I remember having to cut it for a couple shows. So I was like, oh, okay, that's fun. He seems like a fun guy.
Yeah. He seems like the life of the party.
Yeah. Well, he seems like the kind of dude that, you know, you could be like, yeah, let's go do karaoke. Why is your face all messed up? Oh, that's right, you're a boxer.
Yeah.
That's probably not the best way to put that.
Yeah, definitely. And did you see his last fight against Deontay Wilder, where he got what many people thought was knocked out and then literally sat up? And then
the Undertaker. Yes. He's the Undertaker guy?
Yes.
Okay.
So Tyson Fury, the Undertaker slash
singer.
who fights. Got it.
Yes.
This is, I'm learning so much.
Yeah, right? This is why you should cover the fight worlds a lot more. Come over to the fight game.
I get enough crap for doing my esports stuff. I think I.
Oh, you do esports.
I think
Ninja,
I'll,
right?
That is one of the most famous people of esports, Ninja. But yeah, I got a lot on my plate, so I will let you inform me about the fight game. That way, I'm not Bogarting your turf.
Oh, no worries at all. But speaking of the fight game, this past weekend was UFC on ESPN1, or also known as UFC Phoenix. The main event, Francis Ngannou versus Cain Velasquez. It was Cain's supposed to be quote-unquote homecoming and his welcome back. He is from Arizona. He's actually from Yuma, Arizona. So when I asked him during media day just kind of what triggered him to want to return after over a year and a half, his last fight was July 2016 with a win over Travis Brown at UFC 200. So in the first round as well. So I said, why now? You know, why, what made you decide to return now? And I mean, all those interviews pre-fight were on lvsportsnetwork.com and are still on there if you want to take a look at them. But he told me, I mean, it was just the right opportunity and to come back and headline the first UFC card or UFC on ESPN card in Arizona. And what was interesting was he said that he felt Francis was green, quote unquote green, like not as experienced, you know, and he felt that he had that advantage over Francis. And Francis told me going into fight week that he was hoping for the knockout, looking for a quick knockout. And that was his game plan. And he did it in 26 seconds. Now, I did a post also because what was interesting was right after the fight, this fan, this woman with a Cameroon flag kind of rushed, or I don't know how she got to the floor, but she like either jumped the fence or something. Right. And she got on the floor and security was kind of holding her back. But she really wanted to meet Francis and get a photo with him. And so he kind of told security, hey, let her through. He got a photo with her. But what was interesting, if you didn't kind of see the replays, you know, online already, people were wondering how did Kane, like, was it because afterwards, and again, all the post-fight press conferences are up on lvsportsnetwork.com with Cain and Francis. And Cain said that it was kind of a freak accident where his knee just gave out on him and buckled on him. And that was why he lost. But if you replay the fight in slow motion, I mean, kind of looks like an uppercut from Francis lands, and that caused Cain to fall and then obviously land on his knee, and then with Francis ending that fight quickly. But let me know your thoughts. Again, I mean, do you think Cain was his worst enemy that night and his knee really just gave out on him and he wasn't in any danger or harm at all? Or do you think that it was Francis's uppercut that really caused Cain to drop and then from there get the finish of the fight? And again, that was a great fight. Okay, I don't want to say great because it was only 26 seconds, but I mean, anytime that a fight can end in stoppage like that and have it be a clean fight, because, or a clean, clear stoppage, I was just say that, but because Cain told me that his game plan was to kind of make the fight go the distance. So it was either going to be the 26 seconds or who knows, the three rounds. But yeah, so that was the main event. In the co-main event, Paul Felder beat James Vick by unanimous decision. Then Cynthia Calvillo in the women's strawweight division, she beats Courtney Casey by decision. And featherweight Cron Gracie, part of the Gracie family, He made his UFC debut, very anticipated debut. Nate Diaz walks out with him during the fight and is in his corner, of course. And he beats Alex Caceres, submits him very quick, 2 minutes, 6 seconds in the very first round. And then probably the fight of the night, Vicente Luque defeated Brian Barberina by TKO. And with only 6 seconds left in the whole fight. And that was a very, very back and forth fight. I mean, it was so great. Very exciting. And Andre Feely in the featherweight division beats Miles Jury by unanimous decision. And then on the prelims, Aljamain Sterling beat Jimmy Rivera by unanimous decision. Manny Bermudez beat Benito Lopez. Andrea Lee beats Ashley Evans-Smith by decision. Nick Lentz beats Scott Holtzman by decision. Luke Sanders knocks out Henan Burrell in the second round. And Henan Burrell is the former UFC bantamweight champion. So that was, it's crazy to see sometimes, you know, as fighters, once they're past their primes and, you know, they're not the same anymore. And Emily Whitmire beat Alexandra Albu by submission, rear naked choke, 101 in the first round, which I believe is the quickest submission victory in strawweight history. So congratulations to Emily, and she does train here in Las Vegas at Extreme Couture. So yeah, fight of the night, Luque versus Barberina, performance of the night, Cron Gracie and Luke Sanders. They all got an additional $50,000 bonus for that. And this weekend, also make sure you stay tuned to lvsportsnetwork.com, because I'll be going to Houston working with probably one of, if not the most popular and funniest UFC heavyweight fighter out there. So if you can guess who, let me know. You can always tweet me at Helen Yee Sports. So I'll be doing an exclusive interview out there. In other news, NBA All-Star Game. I don't know why. For some reason, and Jared, I don't know about you, if you're really into like the All-Star Games, whether it's whichever sport, but I used to be so interested in the NBA All-Star Game and like the dunk contest, the three-point contest and whatnot, but not so much anymore. Like, I mean, it was a fight weekend, so I was already very consumed by that and just focused on the fights, but I wasn't really like that interested in being like, oh, it's NBA All-Star.
See, what's funny is I was watching the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, and yeah, I basically didn't even know it was going on.
Like, yeah.
For a couple years there, the three-point contest was exciting, and then it got to the point that no one who you wanted to see in the dunk contest was competing in the dunk contest.
Exactly.
And then the dunk contest turned into, like, okay, this guy's going to jump over a car, and now we have to jump over mascots, and now we have to jump over Shaquille O'Neal.
I know, right?
And it's like, all right, guys, these are all cool. You all can jump high, but you know, like, I'm not sure how many times we can reinvent the wheel as far as the dunk contest is concerned. So then no one plays hard in All-Star games. Like, that's just the problem. No one plays hard in All-Star games. And why would they? Like, if you get hurt in an All-Star game, you know how embarrassing that is?
Like, that's true.
Like,
that is true, yeah.
Especially NBA or MLB, where it's in the middle of the season. Like, that's so, like, oh, why is LeBron sitting for the next 2 weeks? Pulled his hammy in the All-Star game. Yeah, I'm mad.
Pulled
I would be.
Pulled his hammy? Oh, yeah. My gosh. Well, nice burn.
You know how mad I would be if I was, like, a Lakers fan and that happened?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, I'd be mad because I'm not a Lakers fan, but
you're a LeBron fan.
I'm a LeBron. You too. You
yes,
are. Yeah.
I am. But it's still one of those things where it's like, okay, fine. If Russell Westbrook gets a sprained ankle and has to miss 3 games because he was trying to break 100 points during the All-Star game, I would be pissed. I'd be so mad if I was an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. Because it's an All-Star game. Who cares? With the NFL All-Star game, I'd rather them just play dodgeball, which they've been doing. So that's kind of cool. Just get rid of the actual Pro Bowl and just have them play dodgeball. Have the players just have a big party and have some comedian that we all like roast them.
Like that one Comedy Central roast.
Yeah. Just have, or like when they let Norm MacDonald host the ESPYs. Just do something like that. That would be preferable to me than watching, you know, guys that I'm like, yeah, these are all-stars. I don't want them hurt, and they're not trying hard. I would rather them try hard, but if they try hard, they might get hurt. So, well, why are we doing this? We've created a conundrum.
Or what if we all... No, I don't think people would want to just watch them play golf or something.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't think they'd like the golf thing.
Yeah, I mean, because...
That's what they would enjoy. I bet they would probably, as players, like, just go... There's a party. It's All-Star Weekend. Come out and meet all your... It's basically a giant fan fest. And then the players get to go play golf.
Yeah, because I was thinking, should they just take away the All-Star game? But then you think, no, how do fans meet them? Because, like you said, that basically is just for the fans. But it's like... Yeah, or just have kind of meet and greets and...
The skills, you keep the skills competition. Keep the skills competition. Keep the 3-point contest. Keep the dunk contest. The actual game is the least important thing of the weekend.
True.
Like, that's just me, though. And I'm probably not a great arbiter. Because this year has been the year I have watched the least NBA basketball.
You know, you and me both, to be honest.
I blame LeBron. I'm a LeBron fan, I blame him.
I blame KD, Kevin Durant.
Fair. But now that it's like, it just doesn't feel like, I don't know, there's something about it that feels so...
Not as exciting, right?
Yeah. It's sort of like how I felt about Clemson, Alabama this year, where it's like, okay, I guess, were we doing this again? Fine.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I guess I'll watch it, maybe in the background, I don't know.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I definitely was a lot more invested into NFL season for sure. But before I head to the break and then come back with interviews with UFC bantamweight / featherweight Kat Zingano and also the UFC flyweight champion who just beat TJ Dillashaw as the current bantamweight champ who dropped to flyweight. He beat him in January. I have interviews there. But D-Generation X will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2019, so congratulations. Just had to point that out because growing up, I was a big DX fan as well. So,
okay.
Did I say that? Yeah. I don't know if Jared's a big WWE guy, but...
I was, I think, when I was like 10 or 11. So, I was a big Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels guy.
Mm-hmm.
Watched a lot of, WCW.
Yes.
So, I was a big Goldberg fan, but besides that, no, I kind of left it whenever I discovered,
Just other sports, right?
Yeah. Well, also, we moved to a place where I think we only got, like, we didn't get cable. We only had, like, the local channels. And so they had stopped putting wrestling on the actual, like, CBS or NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, well, you can always tweet me at Helen Yee Sports. When I get back, I do have interviews with Kat Zingano and Henry Cejudo. When's Henry going to have his rematch against TJ Dillashaw? Stay tuned to find out. You're listening to Eyes on the Game. Helen, you here with Eyes on the Game. We are here at Wesley Community Center at the Golden Gate campus, being joined by the beautiful Kat Zingano. First off, I did see you talking to the kids here, you know, in Phoenix. What was that experience like?
It's just super cool to be able to come in and spend some time with them. Like, I know they're saying that this area is, you know, working on building itself back up. And meanwhile, you know, a lot of confidence needs to go into these kids, and whatever we can do to be in here helping, I'm excited to do.
And because you do have a son yourself, how old's your son?
My son's 12.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how has everything been going, you know, at home and in your eye? Because I do know, you know, the unfortunate accident that it happened from the last fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit over a month. It's healed up a bit. I still have some problems with it that I'm, you know, working on and waiting to see improvement on. But I was just cleared to start training a bit, and that's been awesome, you know, just to be able to move again. And, you know, I still got my sights set on my goals, you know, never stop believing in myself. Like, for some reason, this is part of the journey, but I mean, oh well, you know, just keeping going.
Yes, and learn from it and grow from it. But I do know, did you file an appeal?
Yeah, so there's, I think it's just hard to say because the, what constitutes an eye poke, you know, the rules are, especially in California, they're not exactly clear on what goes on with that. I mean, you go to different states and it says a toe is, you go to a different states and you, you know, it'll say a thumb is not considered a finger. Like, so I don't know. I just kind of want to see whether something happens with my case or not. I just think that it needs to be a little bit more clear what goes on moving forward with any fighter. I mean, it was a really scary, awful situation for me, and whatever we can do to figure it out as far as rules moving forward for people I want to be part of.
Well, do you know when that should be resolved?
No. I mean, there's a hearing on the 19th of this month, so, you know, just going to that, and I don't know what they've come up with. I have a feeling I'm going to go there and they're going to already have a decision made as far as what they think of this. I mean, it's been a month and a half for people to kind of discuss and see. So we'll see. We'll just see what they come up with and what that means for fighters moving forward.
Do you feel pretty positive about it, though?
Yeah, I mean, it's an injury. But, like, the biggest part is that I still have two eyes. You know, there was a flash in time right there where I literally thought that this is how the sport ends for me. You know, I thought I lost my eye. I was terrified. And, you know, to get out and to have damage, pretty serious damage, but, you know, enough where I'm sitting here walking around talking, like, have some depth perception still. Like, all that stuff, it's still, like, I got out pretty good considering how it could have been. I know a few people that have lost their eye from the exact same thing, so it's kind of, you know, a crappy experience. It'll go down in history. It's real weird, but you know, it's all right. Yeah,
but I am glad that your eye is okay and that you're doing okay. I do know that you kind of wanted that rematch, right? Against Megan, and then I believe that she said she's willing to do it. So where are the talks going right now?
That's what it seems like, you know. I'm waiting on a few things to stop happening with my eye. You know, I'm out of the eye patch. Like, my pupil is back down to being like a normal size again. I still have some vision problems. I still have some weird like spots in my vision, and they are getting better. So but this isn't an injury to play with. It's not one to gamble with. Like, I don't think anyone would lose their vision for what we get paid for a fight. So, you know, I'm taking it and being as smart about it as possible, and I'll come back when I'm ready. You know, I'll come back when it's ready and when it makes sense to get back in there. You know, I didn't get to burn off that fight. We went in there and weird stuff happened, and yeah, so hopefully the redo.
Yeah, well, when do you foresee a rematch happening?
I don't know. I as soon as my eye is better. I mean, yeah, there's no way to say. I can't tell you how fast an eye takes to heal.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, I mean, health is most important and vision as well. And also, though, looking at the division right now, and you did fight at featherweight. You did mention, you know, having those goals and staying focused. So are your goals the same? Because now that you've moved up to featherweight, do you still kind of have the same goals, or are you kind of going back down? Like, where does that stand right now, though?
My next fight, I want to be Megan. My next fight, I want to finish what we started. Okay. And then what happens beyond that is, you know, whatever's in the cards. Like, I'm very open to fighting at 145. I'm very open to fighting at 135. Like, both of those I have goals at, and, you know, they're all on my path here. So right now it's just healing and getting that rematch with Megan and setting things right.
But how did you feel in there at featherweight?
I feel great. I mean, I got to cut less weight, which was nice. You know, I was still feeling, I still felt it, you know, but, you know, having a bigger, slower opponent was nice. Being able to just kind of, I don't know, train hard and train healthy and be able to lift heavy and have all of this, like, nutrition in me that I got to sprinkle all over every part of getting ready for that fight that was different than when I'm depleted. So, you know, it was good. I liked it. It was very felt very welcoming.
What do you think about Chris Cyborg, you know, losing to Amanda Nunes, and now Amanda's saying that she doesn't want to, you know, fight at featherweight again?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know why she wouldn't want to fight at featherweight again, but, you know, whatever happens between her and I as far as any kind of rematch, like, it doesn't really matter if it would be at 135 or 145. The point is the rematch. It's not about the scale. So,
between you and Amanda, right?
Yeah. As far as that fight, I don't know. I don't know what I expected to happen. I thought Amanda had a good game plan to just kind of rush her and be in her face. I don't think anyone's really done that before. So that was a good experiment to run, and clearly it came out with the right answer, I guess.
And lastly, what do you have to say to all your fans, you know, and who are anticipating your return?
I love my fans. Like, I've been having, like, there's such an up and down road on this journey professionally, and I have some ride or die people that I'm just so excited and proud to have my back. You know, people were playing with me, people have been there for me to be inspired by, like, ups and downs. Like, I'm just excited that this is what I get to do with my life, that this is just what's happening, and I know it's my purpose, and I know I'm here doing what I'm doing because there's a lot to it. And yeah, my fans are great. I'm really proud of them.
And if you go out of line here at Golden Gate, you're going to get suspended for a couple of weeks, and you're not going to be able to play foosball. You're not going to be able to play poor basketball or do some of the stuff with your friends. So to me, it wasn't just Golden Gate was just a place that gate, but it was a place where you could actually mature and grow as an adult. Like,
Helen Yee here with Eyes on the Game. I'm here at Wesley Community Center, the Golden Gate campus, being joined by the champ, Mr. Henry Cejudo. First off, congratulations. You have returned to a place where, you know, you grew up coming to. So how did that feel?
Oh, it feels good. It feels good to be able to see the future. I was once, you know, in the Indian style position, listening to a speaker out here. So it's just cool to fast forward, and now I'm able to, you know, come back with the gold medal, with the UFC belt, and then you know, donating a check to this beautiful cause.
Yeah, and then also they named the Henry Cejudo After School Program. I mean, were you surprised? Let's be honest.
Yeah, it was an awesome surprise. I think he's very handsome up there. He's gonna look very.
But with the new belt, where's the new belt here?
Oh, the new belt. It's we can. It's laying around. It's a little. It's a little bored, I think. I think we should bring it. But, you know, it's taking pictures with it. So I have two belts, so I can kind of promote both, yeah. Right?
Which one do you like better, though?
I like the new belt, actually. The new belt is actually a lot prettier than... the new belt's a lot prettier than this one. This one's nice, too, but I think there's more of a meaning to the new one. Like, they've actually spent their time with it, yeah. And being able to see the eight flags, the octagons, the... you know, the 25 years that we've been doing it, like, it's an awesome belt.
Yes. Well,
plus, I like it because I'm the only one that has it too.
The first.
That's why I like it.
Yes. Well, it's about a month since, you know, that fight and that big win over TJ Dillashaw. Has everything sunk in yet since then?
Oh, absolutely. Everything's sunk in. Every victory that I've done has sunk in. It's, because I train hard, I sacrifice a lot. I know my strengths, I know my abilities. I've competed my whole life, so I'm not. It sunk in the moment that my hand was raised, the moment that the ref pulled him off me, because I know what I could do.
But I know that going into that fight, I mean, you kind of put some pressure on yourself saying that, you know, the flyweight division was in your hands. So with that victory, I mean, how was that victory compared to beating a great like Demetrius Johnson?
Oh, man, I don't think it'll ever get bigger probably than beating Demetrius because of his level, because of his 11 title defenses, unless I go up and fight Jon Jones. But that's about as good as
so I think. So for the rest of that interview, you can check out lvsportsnetwork.com. It is up there. And Henry does talk to me about why beating Demetrius Johnson was the greatest feat so far for him. And also he talks about Nikki Bella, Kelvin Gastelum, and that belt that Kelvin was carrying around and so much more. But Golden Knights, they did get shut out yesterday by Colorado Avalanche. They do play tomorrow back at T-Mobile Arena, 7 p.m., as they host the Boston Bruins. I'll be there, so you can check out all the post-game coverage on lvsportsnetwork.com. And the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame inductees are the Golden Knights. Congratulations to them, Steve Karp, Hunky Cooper, Manny Guerra, Mike Martin, and Steve Stallworth. You can always check out all the content and everything on lvsportsnetwork.com. You can tweet me, Instagram, or Facebook at Helen Yee Sports. I appreciate the continued support, and I guess I'll be talking to you on Friday. So with that being said, have a beautiful day. I'm going to go find me some pizza right now.